You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 40. So, got quite a bit of stuff to go through. Actually, not so much for the first half, a little bit more for the entertainment segment, a bunch of news, movie review, and character profile for the Star Wars segment, so there is all that. Not too much going on as far as other tech news, but there is that. I'll have the usual theme and then round it out with an app/game review. So to start it off, for this week's episode, the theme is Offset. So this is something that's used in a couple of different ways. Basically, the technical definition is it's a way for a company to liquidate a futures position by entering an equivalent or opposite transaction to eliminate the obligation. So that is basically a long way of saying that you're going to do one of two things. One way to look at it is that you may owe somebody money and somebody may owe you money. It might be that it's generally the same company. You might have a mutual relationship going on and you want to do a direct offset. So you want to clear off both balances. You're okay with it. The other company is okay with it. So you're going to offset each other's transactions and then they'll do the same thing on their end. So both of your reconciliations and account balances match and you have that transaction saying that you're offsetting the transactions based on a mutual agreement and go from there. The other thing that you'll do, or the other reason you might want to do an offset, is that you want to reduce that balance to zero because you don't want to take any further gains or losses from that position. So this is generally used in investing and or stocks or finance because you're, for example, tracking the money you're gaining or losing from owning that stock, and you now no longer want to, basically you're writing it off in a sense to clear that balance because you no longer owe that, or you no longer own it, or you're no longer getting any value from it. And it's a similar thing from a write-off. You're basically forgiving the debt that's owed to you, so you're writing it off and offsetting it with a transaction, or you may have an intermediary account to hold funds that are unclaimed or in excess to keep them off the books, and you're offsetting those balances there. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. To start it off, Chrome Remote Desktop got an update with Material Design, so on your device it should look a little bit cleaner with your more recent Android operating systems. Nova Launcher Beta got an update with Night Mode for easier viewing at night and improved battery savings on AMOLED screens. In case you don't know what Nova Launcher is, it's a way to change the look and feel of your home screen on Android to have further customization options. So let's say your device has 6 screens on it by default, but you want to have, let's say, only 1 or 2. And then Nova Launcher can do that and then add certain other customization options. So for example, the stock Google Launcher only has one mode. With Nova Launcher, you can now have a night mode, so it's easier on your eyes and things like that. This week, WhatsApp enabled end-to-end encryption for all users, so now all of your chats and messages should be more secure by default. Google announced this week that all of their apps in the Google Play Store will now have a unified icon look but be colored differently to have them be differentiated a little bit more. So essentially your Google Play movies and TV will have the triangular Google Play Store icon but be colored red. Music I think is yellow, books is blue, and that sort of thing. So the icons are now going to be more unified but still have their unique colors to them, so you can differentiate them based on the colors they had before. Angry Birds Action was released this week. This is a new pinball game in the Angry Birds universe. It's having a slow rollout, so it might not be available for everyone just yet, but look out for that in case you want to play pinball in the Angry Birds universe. Tilt Brush was released by Google this week to allow for third-party or 3D painting in virtual reality. So if you have a VR headset and you install this app, you can essentially move your hands around to paint in a 3D atmosphere. And finally, the official Reddit app was released for Android this week for everybody, so you can definitely check it out if you are browsing around on Reddit all the time. So I had a chance to install it and look at it briefly. Haven't had a chance to play around with it too much, but I will be playing around a little bit more in the coming days and weeks. So that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into this week's app/game review. And I do say app/game because it's not really one or the other, and it's not really both, but it does have elements of both in general. And the app that I'm talking about is Miitomo by Nintendo. That's Miitomo. It allows you to do two things as a benefit. Like, you can't do one without the other, and you need one to do the other thing kind of thing. So essentially what you do is you chat with your friends by answering questions. So your friend might ask, or you'll get questions every day and you'll answer those questions, and then you'll be able to further talk to your friends about those answers you give and hopefully learn a little bit more about them. And as you answer questions, though, you also get a little bit of a benefit by earning coins by answering those questions. So it's kind of gamifying your social conversations. And by answering those questions, you get different outfits that you can purchase. So you'll go to the store and you'll see different outfits. You can either buy a whole new outfit or you can buy different elements. So if you want to buy a shirt from one that you like and then a different set of pants that you like, you can do that. If you want to buy a pirate hat, you can do that, or headphones, things like that. So all sorts of different things can be done. The app connects itself with Facebook and Twitter, so you can easily find out when your friends are connected that way. And then you can also connect the app with your Nintendo account, so it keeps your... So if you want to find if any of your Nintendo friends are using it, then you can do that as well. The part that I liked the most about it was the customizability of your avatar. So it can be done in two ways. Three ways. The first way is you can take a picture of yourself, essentially a selfie, and then the app will attempt to try and build the avatar based on that. And then from there you can customize various features, so your eyebrows, hairstyle, colors, and all of that. If it's not quite on par, or if there's things you want to change. The second way is you can import a picture. So let's say you want to import use your Facebook or Twitter profile picture or some other picture that you like. You can import the picture. I'll attempt to determine that way and create the avatar there. That's the method I went. It did a decently enough job, I guess, so you went that route. The third route is a full customizable option. So you can go step by step, pick your head and head color style, eyebrows, hair style, hair color, body height and all of that, and then you pick your clothes that or style and things like that, and you're good to go. So essentially you're creating a digital avatar of yourself and then chatting with your friends in rooms. So that's really all there is for the app itself. All you're doing is building an avatar and chatting with your friends in 3D. So I kind of like the concept behind it, but the thing that I kind of didn't like was having to have the load time of having to load the app in order to chat with friends. And then I think because I don't really have too many conversations going on, that I didn't get too many notifications. So I'm guessing as you have more conversations going on, that you'll more regularly get your notifications. But in the end, you still have to load an app and wait for it to load in order to continue with the conversation. So if you're usually launching your apps quickly, like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or Hangouts or iMessage or anything like that, then it's not going to be that fast, but you do get the additional benefit of talking in 3D and having a more visual means of talking to your friends short of doing a video call. So that's really all there is for that. The app is available for Apple iOS users and in the Google Play Store for free, so it's definitely worth checking out as far as checking it out. One of the other things to note is that if you're on Android and you have your devices rooted, or if you're on iOS and your device is jailbroken, then the app may not run because it does check at launch to see if you are rooted or jailbroken. So on the Android side, you'll need to install Expose module and then install RootCloak and the Mitomo security bypass in order to get it working properly and loading. So there's no, it's not that you will be unable to use it, you just need to have a workaround to get the app to load. For iOS, if you're jailbroken, I assume it means that you have Cydia installed, that's Cydia. If you do, then you'll install Xcon, that's the letter X, and C-O-N, and that will allow you to bypass the security check on the iOS side to get the game to load. So just a bit of heads up there, in case the app doesn't, or if it doesn't load for you, if you're having trouble, that may be a workaround to get it loading. There was someone I was talking to who was not rooted on her Android device and was still having trouble loading the game, so it may be that the game, or there was a server load issue, or maybe there was a bug in the app itself for non-rooted users, or maybe it was a device-specific issue. There was a, I think one or two updates to fix various bugs, so it may have been fixed already, but just a heads up there. And of course you can reach out to me and I can see if I can help, since I do have a rooted device and I did go the route of installing RootCloak and the security bypass to get the game working for me. And then as always in this case, I will, or like usual in this case, in the show notes I'll have a link to the video review, so if you want a more visual look at Mitomo and if to help you decide to, if it's worth installing or not, I'll have that link in the show notes, or you can visit youtube.com/patelN01 to check it out. But that's all there is for that, so after the short break, I'll jump right into this week's entertainment segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelN01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps the our flagship show go ad-free, so let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted, you can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode, helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky, nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelN01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. Quite a lot of things to get through for this week. A lot of announcements, releases, and updates, things like that. So I'll jump right into it. This week is a film review and a standard Star Wars profile. It actually pretty much flowed easily when I watched the film for this week. So I will not waste too much time otherwise. There will be one bit of news for the entertainment that is that may be a bit spoilery, so at the when I get to it, I will let you know to jump forward probably 30 seconds to a minute or so. It is the last bit of news before what I watched, so it should be relatively straightforward. So when if it jumps, or if it's not as long as, or it's not as the jump forward is not as long as I say, then it'll be pretty easy to guess where that is done when I'm in the one I watched. So with that, I'll jump right into it. To start it off, Sharknado 4 was announced, or its subtitle was announced to be The Force Awakens. It's currently set to air on TV July 31st, 2016, so look out for that. BB-8's app, and probably not the hardware, but the software was updated to now have the ability to watch and react to the Star Wars The Force Awakens. So if you watch The Force Awakens with your BB-8, it will react and get scared and be excited when it, or as it watches along with you. The first trailer for Batman The Killing Joke was released this week, so look out for that. It is available on YouTube, and I think it's currently set to release in summer of 2016. Also releasing in summer of 2016 is Transformers: A Combiner Wars via Machinima on the G90 network. A coinciding poster was also released, so if you do a search for Machinima Transformers Combiner Wars, you can see that. Via StarWars.com, you can now learn how to easily draw Kylo Ren, so it's pretty easy. Just draw. It's basically a combination of circles and lines, so look out for that. The teaser trailer for Star Wars Rogue One was released this week. It is available via YouTube. It was initially released on or aired on TV via Good Morning America, so look out for that. You can also check it out via the Geek.io network and the Life of an Accounting Droid website, so geek-io.net or patelin01.com. And finally, as far as a spoilery bit, the Game of Thrones Season 6 Episode 1 title and episode synopsis were released. The episode synopsis is a bit spoilery, so that is a part to jump forward about, I want to say 30 seconds to a minute from now. Since it's the last item, when you hit the What I Watched segment, that will be your cue that you jump forward far enough. So the episode title is The Red Woman. When the synopsis is, Jon Snow is dead, Daenerys meets a strong man, and Cersei sees her daughter again. So this confirms that Jon Snow is dead. So as far as future fate and how he deals, if anything ever deals with the Red Witch, then we will see. But we also learn that Cersei's daughter, I'm drawing a blank on her name at the moment, returns. As far as I know here, since we are being a bit spoiler, I think I'm going to assume that she is actually dead, and that is how she returns to Cersei. So, there is that. So, for me, I'm actually planning on restarting my HBO Now subscription for Game of Thrones before it starts and rewatching the final episode just to get that recap. I don't know if it'll actually happen or not, but I am planning on reactivating my HBO Now account to get Game of Thrones. But there is that first episode name and synopsis now available. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch all of the Star Wars The Force Awakens bonus content. So if you see the episode image for this week, it is from one of the deleted scenes when Han Solo and the guys are in Maz's Cantina in the basement area. And I actually kind of enjoyed this particular deleted scene the most. It was pretty funny, so I thought I'd share that. And then I also had a chance to watch a lot of the making of behind the scenes and all of that good stuff. And it was actually pretty interesting and intriguing to see what went on behind it, as much of it is, and how they made everything come together with real life filming as well as CGI and the combination of the two. And especially how they were able to film Maz and with Lupita Nyong'o and the effects they needed to do that. And the same similar thing with Snoke as far as the digital recreation of that. I also had a chance to watch Horace and Pete episode 10. This was the season finale, or I think the series finale as well, but mainly the season finale. So there was that. It was pretty sad, but we also got to see have a look back as well and the return of Pete in that cliffhanger moment. I also had a chance to watch The Walking Dead season 6 episode 16, Last Day on Earth. This is the season finale as well for The Walking Dead. We got to see the introduction of Negan as well as the cliffhanger moment of losing a character. I have my speculation down to a couple of characters as far as who dies, but we actually don't know yet, so there is that bit of controversy going on as well. For me, it bugs me that they kind of left it there, left it that open to who it may be. I kind of wanted initially to know who it is. I guess that's the sign of a good cliffhanger, but actually now I'm in the middle a little bit. I kind of wish they had it narrowed down to those couple of people who it may be, to leave it open and kind of mix between who it is. For me, I don't really care who it would have been to begin with. I did actually look online to see who it was, and it would be pretty cool to see if it is the same person. but would be disappointing if it does turn out to be that same person in the TV series and if they went the route of not showing that. So we'll see in season 7 when that happens. But overall, a good episode. I kind of would have done without the Carol and Morgan episode and had left that to maybe the season 7 premiere, as far as their storyline, and have it resolved in season 7 and finish that out instead of having that storyline left open, as well as who Negan kills. I also had a chance to watch Better Call Saul season 2 episode 8, Fifi. Nothing too special here, just more of Saul slash Jimmy starting the practice, as well as his girlfriend doing the same and leaving the job and all of that. And then finally, I had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 15, Space Time. So basically nothing too... Well, actually, it was actually pretty interesting. We get to see that Chloe Bennett's character, Daisy, is given a view of the future, and it's not too far in the future, but how... not necessarily that they try to change the future, but that how incomplete the vision actually is and what goes wrong. So they changed it for naught, and they actually ended up going down that road anyway, so it might actually be a fixed line anyway. So we'll see how next week's episode builds upon that as well. Otherwise, I also had a chance to continue watching Vikings. I'm currently up to episode 6 in season 1, so it's pretty good. A lot of controversy going on with Ragnar and how he's playing against the Earl, so can't wait to see how the season finishes. So that is all for that. So with that, I will jump right into this week's film review. So for this week's film review, I actually received a coupon for Google Play to rent a movie for 75% off. So I was browsing around and found that The Hateful Eight was in Google Play available for rental. So I decided to give it a watch and see how good or bad it actually was. So I will say that I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. Nothing too fantastic, I thought, but it was generally entertaining. The characters did a pretty good job, so I will jump right into it. So, The Hateful Eight released on December 30th, 2015 in the United States. It has a runtime of 167 minutes. It has a tagline of, "The no one comes up here with a damn good reason." A brief summary of the movie is that in the dead of a Wyoming winter, a bounty hunter and his prisoner find shelter in a cabin currently inhabited by a collection of nefarious characters. The movie was directed by Quentin Tarantino, so I will jump into a bit of that controversy towards the end of the review. So does have an IMDb rating of 79%, so generally well favored. The Rotten Tomatoes rating kind of matches it. It has a 75% critics rating and 77% audience rating. I really didn't look too much into why people did not like the movie. I would imagine it's probably the usual violence and all of that stuff. It was a slight variation on the Django Unchained movie, but more on the Civil War, or sorry, the Emancipation of the Slaves time frame of things, so there is that. So kind of, I guess, unofficially be considered a sequel, I guess, but not so much. Otherwise, that's all I'll really say on that, but it was overall done pretty well as far as character development and acting and all of that. So to start it off, which forest do people travel through that all of the trees are growing in a perfect grid of lines? So I think this is more of a filming, ease of filming kind of thing rather than more than anything else, but it's actually kind of bugging me now. I forget how it was pointed out to me, and it was the same thing when I was watching the Star Wars: The Force Awakens bonus content for how they were creating the forest. But now that I've seen that, I can't unsee it, where all the trees and all of that, and trees are basically growing in perfect formation. So where exactly is this, where that's happening? I've been to a couple of the national forests and all of that, and I've never seen this many trees growing in formation. So whose ranch is this on that this is happening? Next up, though, everyone introducing themselves when in a new environment seems so much more polite. So I actually kind of found this kind of humorous. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I kind of like that every time they a new character was introduced, they introduced who they were, what gang or crew they were part of, what their reputation is, what they're doing, where they're going. And it just seems more cordial and polite. So it seems like one of those things that everyone should do all the time. Anytime there's a new person in a group of people, they should introduce themselves and who they are and what they do. It's a pretty good icebreaker, no pun intended, for the environment of the movie. Next up, though, wouldn't it be more prudent to disarm your potential competitors before bragging about your potential bounty? So the one thing that kind of bugged me but found kind of funny was that the hangman guy who was taking the lady for the bounty of $10,000 kept bragging to everyone that he's taking her in for the bounty. But I got to thinking, what if one of the people you meet really needs money or is more conniving and not so nice of a person that they decide that they want to take the bounty in for themselves, and they happen to have weapons on them, so they might want to pull out their weapon and take the bounty for themselves. So why wouldn't you, instead of claiming that you're looking for a bounty and then taking their weapons, why wouldn't you want to take their weapons first? And then tell them that this is your bounty and anyone who tries anything funny now is going to get shot or whatever. Especially when they're in the cabin and it's a close range environment. And finally, basically a summary of The Hateful Eight, in case you're wondering, is basically it's an Outlaw Old West version of The Departed meets Clue. So if you watch the Clue movie or play the Clue board game, that's kind of what's going on here. And then it's also mixing in The Departed, the movie with Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, and a few others, where essentially in the end everyone ends up dying by various reasons. So basically it's taking place in the Old West, but it's basically the Departed movie. And to have that whole level of intrigue, it's kind of like Clue to figure out exactly what's going on and who everyone is and what's going on there. And then the movie is split up into chapters, which I actually kind of liked as well. So it kind of gives you a time frame of what's going on there. So on that note, as far as what I wanted to do for the Star Wars profile, when this whole bounty hunter thing came up, I thought about going with the simple route of Jango or Boba Fett, but instead I thought I'd go with Star Wars of Clone Wars and talk a little bit about Cad Bane. So Cad is a bounty hunter originally from the planet Duros. He's approximately 6 feet tall, so very skinny and very... he basically... is taller than most other people, definitely taller than Ahsoka, approximately on par with Anakin. He was generally the number two bounty hunter in the galaxy, but became number one after the death of Jango Fett. His methods were more, probably about as efficient, but more of get the job done without much regard for the consequences. In general, he was hired by the Confederacy of Independent Systems, the Hutt Clan, or the Sith because of his ruthless methods. So, he did, by all intents and purposes, earn his reputation for being a good bounty hunter. He was most notably known for, as being hired by Darth Sidious to steal a Jedi holocron from the temple, which he was victorious in doing. So even though Anakin and Obi-Wan and everyone tried to stop him, he still got away. He was also able to kidnap Jedi younglings and escape capture by, in this instance as well, Anakin and Ahsoka, to deliver the younglings to Darth Sidious for a secret program. I imagine this is probably something related to the hands of the Emperor, where he needed people who were force sensitive but not too force sensitive to carry out his whatever he needed to get done. And finally, he was selected for the mission to kidnap Chancellor Palpatine during the Festival of Lights on Naboo. This was a pretty intricate plan set up by Count Dooku / Lord Tyrannus to overcome a number of obstacles to see who would be able to finish the course, think outside the box, and generally be able to accomplish this very difficult mission. So he was well known in the galaxy. While we did not see him in the Clone Wars, while we didn't see him in the films, in the prequels at least, he was brought up quite a bit in the Clone Wars TV series. So we know he, as far as interactions with General Grievous, I'm not sure if he had any of those, but he did have run-ins with our major characters, so we know that they knew of him and were tested by him, and in general he was quite victorious in his missions. And when they learn about his abilities and maneuvers, they were able to counteract him to an extent. I didn't really have, there was not much backstory, but he did have interactions with the Hutts as far as the Zero the Hutt timeline. So he did have interactions with Zero as well as Jabba the Hutt. So if you watch the Clone Wars, you would have seen those as well. But there were times there where he did not just only work for the Sith or the Confederacy, but also for those Hutts. So that's a couple of examples there as well. So that is actually all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feedback, anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com, and you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. Of course, if you want to get the ebook version of what was covered in this episode, you can get Journal of an Accounting Droid by visiting author.patelN01.com. The ebooks are released within a day or two of the episode, so you can find it on that directly by visiting author.patelN01.com or on any of the social media sites, so Facebook, Google+, or Twitter. Of course, if you want to find this episode or past episode and all related links, so subscription links, things like that, you can visit patelN01.com. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, so leave your rating. Be sure to rate us there to help visibility and promotion of the show that way. You can also find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network by visiting geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.